This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070.
We have an issue of historic proportions.
What the heck is going on in Woolen Mills?
Woolen Mills has got itself into quite an interesting debate about a historic property. And it's a 1886 historic home called the Timberlake Branham Home, about 7.75 acres. And in 1993, the city designated it as historic and a protected property.
Which means what exactly?
That any development would have to come in front of the Board of Architectural Review to make sure that it conformed and protected the historic nature of the property.
So you couldn't put up a 9-story condo in the backyard of this historic structure?
Yeah, or paint it pink or tear down, parts of it that led to its historic designation.
Right.
You have to take care of the property and maintain its appearance to protect that historic fabric of the Woolen Mills neighborhood.
So it's a historic home in Woolen Mills on 7 acres.
And last week, a resident of Woolen Mills, Bill Emery, had an attorney bring a case to the Board of Zoning Appeals to ask why the designation for the entire property had changed. Basically, on the zoning maps of the city, they had sort of lost track of how much of this property was historic. And the amount that was historic on the city maps shrunk around the house. And other parts of the property have been developed over the years. And in 2001, I believe, the Woolen Mills self-storage project was built. And nobody realized at the time that the place they put that storage facility was designated historic by a past action of city council.
So they sold off some of the land of that 7 acres. So let me get this straight.
It was sold off, but it was developed, yes.
And the city forgot, oh, wait, this is historic property. They just forgot it. That's not in dispute.
That's not in dispute. They came to the BZA meeting and said...
The what meeting?
Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay.
They came to that meeting, and the zoning administrator said a mistake was made. Suddenly I sound like somebody in the Bush administration. A mistake was made. And but when they look at all the documents, they have to basically make their decision based on what is still on paper. So this error slipped through the cracks, and in 2000 it gets worse. In 2003,
Does it really?
In 2003, the city rezoned the entire city, and I'm not familiar with all the details of that, but it was a comprehensive rezoning of the city. This property was involved in that. That would have been the time that somebody might have noticed that the designation had changed around this property, but nobody did notice. And nobody complained after the fact. Maybe you have 30 days to register a complaint. Nobody noticed it. Now, this brings to mind some other major issues in my mind that have had similar controversies. One, let me point out Loudoun County. Loudoun County did a major downzoning in the same year, 2003, and that was taken to court by 100 property owners that said, you cannot take away my property rights by downzoning my land and making it so I can have less development potential. That got overturned by the state Supreme Court. They said that because of a technicality in the advertisement that went out to all the residents saying, here's the rezoning we're going to do, that they left out some essential information. So there's an example of where a zoning dispute went all the way through the courts. The court said, you messed up, Loudoun County. You have to start over. In this case, it's a little different because we have a mistake that they admit making, but it's not clear to anyone at the moment whether the Board of Zoning Appeals can even do anything about it. This may have to go to the courts to get resolved.
Why wouldn't it go to city council?
Well, it might. That I guess they could intervene and try to take another action. And the Daily Progress has done a good job the past couple of days covering this. They've gotten an editorial on this very subject today, and the headline on the editorial is, fixes, as in if the city council came in to fix it, can start new problems. And those new problems would be for the landowner. Mr. Coyner, who bought the land and by according to the record, didn't know that all of it was previously determined to be historic.
He didn't know he was buying property that he would have to go to the bar to get approval to develop.
Right, because if you look at the map, it didn't say it was all historic. So then I guess what you're suggesting, Coy, is if city council came in and did that, that might be a taking. You know, if they came in and then and fixed the map, I guess Mr. Koyner could say, well, now you're taking away a property right that I had.
Even though the property right that he had was the result of a mistake.
That's right.
On the part of somebody in City Hall who was asleep at the drawing board.
And one of the people that came to this zoning appeals hearing was UVA law professor Ann Coughlin. And she had a great line. It was, you shouldn't be allowed to have a taking by typo. And the point she was trying to make is you shouldn't be able to take something from the public, a historic designation like this, by a typo. Because if the public has no right to fix this and raise the question, get it fixed, then that you know, potentially shakes the confidence in any government decision. If mistakes are made and there's not an easy way to fix them, then you wonder about lots of decisions and people influencing the process. Now, if Professor Coughlin was judge of the Court of Public Opinion, you know, I think she would win her case, because the public clearly is going to come and say, hey, we shouldn't, you know, we should put back the historic designation on all the property.
But Koyner, who bought the property, he bought it on good faith that he was buying property that he could develop by right pretty
That's
much
right.
any way that he didn't know he was buying protected property.
That's right. Hence the dilemma. And the Board of Zoning Appeals made, now the public didn't like this, but I think, I'll give my opinion, I think they made a smart decision. They didn't make a decision at the hearing.
government.
They deferred it. And I think that was very smart. They deferred it, and they are going to seek outside counsel to advise them on this. This is a very interesting part of the process, because at the Board of Zoning Appeals, you have city staff in the city attorney, Craig Brown, and you have the zoning administrator. They're both there presenting the city's case. You know, we made a mistake. Here's what the maps are. We look at the maps, and we see that, you know, Mr. Koyner was told it wasn't historic, and he could develop parts of this land. And that's what they're basing their decision on. However, Craig Brown can't advise the Board of Zoning Appeals. He's there representing the zoning administrator. So the Board of Zoning Appeals really doesn't have an attorney present to help them. And it was interesting, in the meeting, Craig Brown kept saying over and over, remember, guys, I'm not here giving you advice, but here's what I see, and I'm just representing the zoning administrator that works for the city, and I can tell you what, you know, how he made his decision. And then Craig Brown left. He left the room. Said he had some prior engagement. And whether that's true or not, it was a smart thing for him to do, because it's just going to get very complicated.
Yeah.
So the Board of Zoning Appeals said, hey, we need to defer this. We need
now,
to
do they have an attorney on staff for the Board of Zoning Appeals?
No.
So they've got to pay to
they
hire somebody.
They have to hire somebody.
So if you pay taxes in the city...
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, but I mean,
it's good that they have a lawyer coming in to advise.
Right.
They obviously need that. This is a tricky situation.
That's right.
However... If they hadn't, look, all of these problems would have been prevented if somebody would have just done their job in the first place.
Yep, it's an unfortunate mistake. And, you know, I have direct experience with a similar mistake in Albemarle County. There was a project out in Ivy, an industrial site, and there was a 200-foot buffer protecting nearby land from industrial development. And in the 1980 great rezoning of Albemarle County, that buffer was eliminated on the zoning map. And it's the same exact situation. An error was made, and really the public looked at that and said, boy, without a whole lot of money and a super sharp attorney and a whole lot of time on our hands, we're not going to be able to get that buffer put back. And my fear is that the folks in Woolen Mills are going to discover that same reality, that this is going to be very hard to correct now that another property owner has come in and has designs on that property. It's an unfortunate mistake, but my prediction would be that the attorney's going to come in and say the BZA does not have authority to fix this, and then they're going to open it up to city council and further court action.